In the name of Jesus, our text is taken from chapter 24 of Luke. Why are you looking among the dead for one who is alive? He is not here, he is risen. Remember what he said to you while he was in Galilee, the Son of Man must be handed over to sinful men, be nailed to the cross, and be raised to life on the third day. Do you believe in angels? Do you believe in angels? There is a popular song, perhaps you've heard it, making a rhyme, in which the lyricist says that he believes in angels. And if I understand the lyrics correctly, he says that he believes in them because he had a dream. Do you believe in angels? Why? Have you seen them? Have you seen them in a dream or a vision? Whether you have or haven't, and most likely you haven't, I would suggest that we believe in angels not because you may or may not see one, but rather because of what the Bible says about them. Who spoke the words of our text? Angels. Hear them. The angels were the first one to speak the first post-resurrection charisma, gospel of our Lord Christ. They were the first ones to announce to the church, He is risen. For that alone, I believe in angels. And I thank my God for them, because they announced to the church, He is alive. He who was dead, as it is written he would die, is alive. This reminds us of how frequently in Scripture we see the Scriptures of the angels, or we hear of how they are intimately involved in the mediation of God's revelation to man. It was the angel of the Lord that spoke to Moses in the burning bush. We are told in the New Testament that it was angels who communicated from God on Mount Sinai the law to Moses. And who can ever forget the first hymn that was sung at the Incarnation by angels, the first ones to announce, apart from the Holy Family, to the human race, the birth of our Lord, angels. Two angels stood by at the Ascension and reminded the disciples of the word of Christ to them, Go! And we shall see angels attending our Lord when He comes, when He speaks one more time to the human race, in judgment and to His church, come. If for no other reason, that they are a part of the mediation of God's revelation to you and to me of the old Torah and of the new, we would believe in angels, and we would everlastingly give thanks to God for them. I never cease to give thanks to God for my mother, for example, by way of analogy, she was the first one who happened to learn to know the name Jesus, together with my father, that she was saved. And if for no other reason, I would give thanks to God forever for her. How much more should we give thanks to God for the angels, for they announced to us, He is alive. And long after we have forgotten the angels, and we see only Jesus alive, yet they were the first one to tell us. We believe in angels also because the Bible tells us that they are the guardian ministers that God sends to His people to help them, to deliver them. The author to the author of the epistles of the Hebrews that tells us that these flaming ministers of God are sent by God to aid and assist those who are heirs of eternal life. And ever so often we see the angels doing this in the Scriptures. Elisha on the way to Samaria, in the midst of that pagan army of fear and destruction, saw the heavens of angels, because I tell you, my servant, don't be afraid. The angel of the Lord that delivered Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem from an army that was about to tear them to pieces. Now, individually, we remember how an angel delivered the three men from the fiery furnace in God's mercy, sent by God to do so. An angel shut the mouths of the lions so they couldn't touch Daniel. And oh, how beautifully we remember, not often, but two or three times, indicating that we do it all the time, that the angels assisted the early church. Paul was being shipwrecked, and he said, an angel appeared to me this night, sent from my God. Did he say? An angel dramatically delivered Peter from prison. We are told in the Psalms that the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear God, and angels bear us up, rescue us up against the storm. It's not important that you ever feel their presence. They seek it. But don't ever cease giving thanks to God for his ministry, spirit to his. And when we get to heaven, we're going to discover for the first time in all of the glory of God how we, agents of God, attended us all through life, keeping us. As Luther finished each day by saying, that the Holy Angel be with me, that only the person has no power over me. Now be careful. You don't worship the angel. By analogy again, you don't worship our parents either. But they still were, and still are, they still were precious gifts to us of God's providence and care and love. So also to give thanks to God for the angels. I'm afraid we go the other way. We don't worship them. We don't even have, the idea doesn't even dawn on us to be fair. But we do the opposite thing. We never give thanks to God for them. And by neglecting giving thanks to God for them, like if I neglect to give thanks to God for the government or my parents especially, we can be involved in sin of idolatry. But we do give thanks to God for them, don't we? We also believe in angels because the Bible tells us, and perhaps this is our greatest work, at least as we look into eternity, they always worship God in heaven. Every time that man has been privileged to see the glory of God enthroned in heaven, the angels are around him. They are part of his majesty and glory. In fact, they are never absent from God in his glory. They worship him. They praise him day and night. Isaiah heard that Christ called him, holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts. Ezekiel is involved in having a vision. And in particular, we're reminded in the New Testament that the greatest Te Deum that has ever been written was written by angels. And it is sung by angels. They sing it all the time. You want to read that Te Deum? Read carefully Revelation chapters 4 and 5. Where John sees more beautifully, if that's possible, and it is because of this side of the cross, than what Isaiah and Ezekiel saw even. He sees the totality of the glory of God in heaven. And the angels are leading all the heavenly hosts in praising God. And they begin with a thrice hallelujah, and they praise God for their creation. And as they praise God for their creation, the whole heavenly host, as well, angelic as well as all the souls of the saints that are there, join in this great Te Deum and praise to God for their creation. But the heart of that great Te Deum is when they praise the Lamb. And every time we praise God, here or elsewhere, we join the angels. They're praising God with us. Even if there should not be a single soul here, but Bob and myself, or you, the angels are here, and they remind us of the privilege and glory of praising God. But if anything, we should have all the more reason to praise God than even the angels. They can't look into the gospel. You do. So do I. Sunday, we're going to be reminded again, hence this sermon today, of St. Michael and our angels there. And I pray that all of us can be encouraged to give thanks to God for the angels because of what they mean to us in Jesus Christ. And maybe as we remember and think before God's throne, these wonderful creatures of His that attend us, that we are to be like them. A whole existence to praise God. Through the gospel now, the cross of the resurrection, to announce to all that He's risen. And let's give thanks to God also, as we remember how they attend us in our earthly pilgrimage, because when we die, we're going to attend our souls too, also, if God takes us to heaven. Yes, we believe in angels, not because we have seen them nor may ever see them here on earth. We shall see them, but by then, we'll be so anxious to see Jesus. We couldn't care less about the angels. But they'll be there, and they'll point us to Him as they lead us in worship of Him, and that's where we go. Yes, we believe in angels, because Jesus and His word. Amen.